emotion in my soul. Oh Lord, please help me find it. Oh Lord, please help me find it. So I'm looking for a soul revival in my skies. Oh Lord, please help me find it. Oh Lord, please help me find it.
Four on the floor. Those of you who have been around for a while might think I'm talking about a stick shift in a 67 Mustang. I'm actually talking about four men on a floor at four in the morning, face down, adoring God, confessing their sin, and thanking Him for His mercy. Also asking Him not just for what they needed, but for what they wanted. Every Saturday morning for a year. When I look back, I remember it as the sweetest of times, and God showed up. Does that sound crazy? Why would anyone regularly get up early and meet with other people to pray? Why not just pray by yourself? Good questions. Hopefully the next 25 minutes or so will help us answer them. Well, welcome, and thanks for listening. This experience is designed to help you focus on the beauty of corporate prayer. People praying together. As we enter in, I want to invite you to think about times you've gathered with other people to pray. My guess is that you've had some good experiences and some poor ones. We believe God throughout history has called His people to pray together, and we as His church are being called to do just that now. God wants us to adore Him together, confess together, thank Him together, and ask Him for what we need and for what we want. Let's go now to the Word and listen as we begin to learn about corporate adoration.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts You. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, Your justice like the great deep. How priceless is Your unfailing love! Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of Your wings. We feast on the abundance of Your house. You give them drink from Your river of delights. For with You is the fountain of light. In Your light we see light. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders You have done. The things You planned for us no one can recount to You. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 4,000 are to be the gatekeepers, and 4,000 are to praise the Lord with the musical instruments I have provided for that purpose. Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king.
Have you ever been to a sporting event? There's something markedly different about watching a game on your TV at home, by yourself, and being at the game with other people. 40 or 50,000 people make a lot of noise proving how much they adore their team. Together, it can be deafening. When we come together to adore our Lord, even if we are praying one at a time, our hearts are pouring forth praise together, and it is loud. I often get this sense that we are urging one another on, encouraging one another to praise Him. As I listen to someone else pray, a thought comes to my mind that's complementary or adds to what's been prayed. Somehow, one prayer of adoration builds on the previous one, and the acclamation and worship of the King is grander, even when people pray quietly. Corporate adoration touches the heartstrings of those present, and together, music is made that can't be made alone. I know it's a bit challenging for the introvert, but group adoration of God, even in a quiet way, is pleasing to God the Father. Adoration is from the Latin to mouth, meaning kissing the hand of the King, or even more reverentially, kissing your own hand and waving it at the King. That's better than the tomahawk chop. He is worthy of our collective praise.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let anyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Go, proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined, For I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.
As I listen to these verses, I'm reminded of the cross. I have to go there first so that I'm able to confess. If I don't remember that Jesus paid the price for all I'm about to say, I would not say it. That would be stupid. If he didn't die for my sin, then there's no God, I'm alone, and I can do just what I want to do without remorse. But if he did die and rise from the grave, he's God, and my sins are paid for in full, so I can confess them freely without fear of eternal punishment. And get this, I can do it in front of others. Now I know that's not the American way. We are a private people. But he calls us to confess our sins one to another. And I can tell you from experience that is very freeing to just say it and to know that brothers and sisters are praying for you and with you for God to do a work in your heart. It's that group thing again, a crowd noise going up before God asking him to do a work in your heart. People asking God to cleanse you and free you from your bondage. Everyone needs friends like that. Now, just a side note here. Confession of a very personal nature shouldn't be done in an open group. That's reserved for a discipleship group or an accountability group. If you have some questions here, ask one of the pastors on staff for some guidance. I hope you do get the sense, though, that personal confession in a group is good, and so is corporate confession. We are a messy church. Not only are there a lot of things we do not do well, there are a lot of things we don't do. I'm reminded of the end of the movie Schindler's List. Oscar Schindler, realizing he had saved some Jews, but he could have done more. His car, his lapel pin. If he had sold them, he could have saved more. He weeps uncontrollably. We are not perfect. We will not do it all. We can confess freely that we could have done more. Some of the things we do are wrong and unhealthy as a church. We are trying, but we want to collectively admit that we are a flawed bunch together. No finger pointing. It's us. We are messed up. We can do better, but the first step is confession of who we are as a people. Corporate confession breeds unity. And it comes from humility. It helps us to know that we are people of the covenant. We are God's chosen mess, and he loves it when we will admit it. And when we do, he assures us that he's not going to collectively boot us out of the kingdom, but he will restore us as a community for his glory and so that the world can see we're different because of his great loving kindness. The Holy Spirit will then fill us and enable us to love one another well.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9?
Gratitude. All of us can relate here. We have both been thanked and given thanks to other people for things they've done. It's common courtesy to say please and thank you. I wonder if you can think of the best gift you ever received as a youth. For me it was, and this is dating me, the newest Beatles album. I was so grateful to my sister who thought enough of me to give it to me freely. It was the best gift. Jesus is better. Now, for those of you who have been around for a while, you're saying this. You're saying, "I believe that. Jesus is better." Well, maybe you and I need to go back to the previous track for more confession. Here's the reality. We believe it very little. Our gratitude is fenced in by what our finite minds can understand of grace. But when you get together with other people and thank Him, the borders expand. You hear about what they are thankful for, and it makes you more thankful. During a time of corporate prayer recently, a friend of mine said he was thankful for his Parkinson's disease. "What?" "Yes," he said, "he was thankful for it because it made him more dependent on God. It gave him a new ministry. Him praying that made me more thankful. Together that day, we thanked God for the suffering and for the joy and for everything in between. I could not have gone there by myself." Corporate thanksgiving is helpful to us and beautiful to God. I hope you're beginning to see the idea and beauty of corporate prayer. One more to go: supplication, or asking God for what we need and for what we want.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them.
I can imagine you've wanted stuff, material things, spiritual things, and you've asked. Did you get them? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. What do you do when you ask and you don't receive? Doesn't the text say, "Ask and you shall receive"? Is God a liar? Here's what I think. His answer is always yes or better. It's never no. God loves those he died for. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a rock. He knows what is best for you better than you do. The asking is important because it indicates that you have a need that you can't fill. He'll fill the need with what is just right for you, yes or better. Now, something happens when three or four people or 1,000 ask for the same thing, something that's for the sake of the church, not just for an individual. God's not deaf. He hears the cry of one, but he delights in the cries of many. It means we are acting and thinking as his body. He delights in that. It means we're unified, of one accord, of one purpose. We've laid down our personal needs for the sake of the body. That's huge. And it means that our hearts have been changed enough to act in keeping with our prayers. It's that group thing again. A crowd noise going up before God, and he loves it. And his answer for his people will be yes or better. James 4, verses 2 and 3 say this: you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's a hard verse to finish with, isn't it? I can tell you, we so long for us as a body to ask and receive. So we are praying in the weeks ahead that God will implant in our hearts right motives. Adore him. Confess to him. Thank him. Ask him. Do it together under good leadership, and I believe you will experience God in a fresh way. So what's next? Well, you can get more information by going to our blog at worshipwell.blogspot.com. But I'm going to go ahead and make an ask. I'm going to ask you to come and join us. We 4 or 40 or 400 or more will be praying together in small groups with some great worship every day starting Monday, August 13th, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock at night. Now, I know that's not 4 on the floor at 4 in the morning, but I wonder, if you come and you invite a friend, who knows? Maybe 30 minutes will be so good it may not be enough. And you'll say, let's start a little earlier. Say it's 6, and then 5:30, and then 5. Come, join us. Now's the time to pray. Worship well.